See, let's get things. Here we go. We're right. Scott Petrak of the Chronicle Telegram, the busiest man this side of the
Cuyahoga. The team that won't stop making news.
Yeah, well, you know, Scott, and that maybe you're in sports covering. You understand how this works, and we find it interesting, too. And it happened recently. You've got Cavs, Indians, and Browns. They always battle for attention. And if some guy does something, another team will suddenly release something where some other big thing. You almost have to be in three places at once if you're covering sports in this town. But you're covering the Browns yesterday. The Browns make a shake it up, I guess, is a good way to quote Rick Ocasek of the Cars, right?
Scott, how much advance notice? Did you know it was coming down the pike? What happened yesterday?
No. I had about a minute and a half, maybe. Just got a text that, look out, something big's coming, and then something big happened. You know, I think you could sense that maybe GM Michael Lombardi was in trouble because Ray Farmer stayed and didn't go to Miami. And then, you know, Lombardi was never super popular. And then when you had Coach Rob Krasinski fired after 1 year, think, okay, who's going to be the next fall guy? But for Joe Banner to be gone after 16 months, and he was a right-hand man, he helped Jimmy Haslam, the owner, transition, you know, into ownership when he bought the team from Andy Lerner. You know, Joe Banner had so much authority in saying the organization, it shocked me that they'd make a move away from him after only one full season.
Well, here's a little of the explanation yesterday from the owner, Jimmy Haslam.
I felt like the previous setup was a little bit cumbersome, and I think the way we're organized now is much more streamlined, will be much more efficient and much more clear in terms of who's in charge of what.
It's funny, you can't hear words like streamlining, more efficient and clear without realizing somewhere along the way people are losing their jobs. I mean, that's kind of the code words for that sort of thing. But what did you get out of yesterday's news conference? Because to me, it seems like there was a lot of talking in circles sometimes during the
conference. There weren't a whole lot of straight answers. You know, I took it as Joe Banner had too much say within the organization. Probably most where it mattered most is in the football department. You know, Joe Banner made his reputation with Philadelphia as a business guy, and he got him a great stadium deal. And he did a good job here getting selling the stadium rights to First Energy and making a bunch of money and then working out the financing for the renovation of the stadium. But he also wanted control of the football department, and he was the guy making the draft picks, at least having the final say on the draft picks. He was the guy who pulled the trigger on trades, and that's what he wanted to be, and he wanted to prove that he can handle that. And I think Jimmy Haslam became uncomfortable with that setup, and he thought when he looked at big picture, Ray Farmer is the guy out of Banner, Lombardi, and Farmer. Ray Farmer's the guy I want making my football decisions. And therefore, where does that leave Joe Banner? And I'm not sure left Joe Banner with the place within the organization. Therefore, the organization gets streamlined.
Scott, there is speculation about, you know, what finally pushed Jimmy over the edge, so to speak. Do you think there was any one thing? Do you think it perhaps one idea that it came down to the coaching search that maybe Jimmy thought Mike and Joe would deliver a high-profile candidate and that did not happen? Do you think that played into it?
I think it did play into it for sure. I don't know if it's – I don't think it was one thing. You know, I think you can look at a bunch of different things. The fact that the draft was underwhelming, the biggest free agent signings, you know, didn't do a whole lot. And then they made the trade for Devon Best, and then they gave him the extension, yet he had you know, been hospitalized against his will just months before the Browns traded for him. So I think there were a bunch of red flags that did at least put questions upon – Banner and Lombardi's running of the football department. And then probably the last straw, and Haslam wouldn't admit it, and he kept saying how much he liked Mike Pettine. But, you know, the coaching searches weren't perceived well nationally or locally. The two choices, Joe Banner ran two searches and came up with Rob Krasinski and Mike Pettine, neither of whom interviewed for any other head coaching jobs across the league, even though there were more than a dozen openings for the 2 years. I think at some point Jimmy Haslam said, you know what, I don't like the perception of my organization. I don't like where it's going, and these are the easiest changes to make.
What was the question you tried to get answered yesterday? As everybody was given their shots as far as, you know, trying to get something to round out the picture.
I was most interested in if firing of Joe Banner had a lot to do with the fact that he was running the football department. If Jimmy just became convinced that Joe wasn't a good enough talent evaluator, or just wasn't skilled enough in that area, and that's what the bottom line became. And Jimmy wouldn't answer. You know, he said that Joe did such a good job here, and he left the team in good shape. You know, so he gave the answer that, you know, the direct answer that I was looking for. But that's what I wanted to find out, is why not Joe Banner? I understood the Michael Lombardi firing. I was trying to come to grips with why Joe Banner right now.
We keep hearing, we keep being told that Ray Farmer is on the rise. He's the new GM, of course. Why do we believe this?
Well, you know, he's a young guy, youngest. He's 39, second youngest GM in the league. So I think that plays into it. You know, well-respected, played in the league for 3 years before a knee injury, cut it short, went to Duke, so he's a smart guy, had some success picking players or helping put a roster together in Kansas City. So I think those are why he gets the tag of up-and-comer and, you know, rising star or whatever. The fact of the matter is he still has plenty to prove, just like new coach Mike Pettine. They're in the job for the first time, their first year. A hugely important offseason because of the cap space that the Browns have, because of the draft picks and the high draft picks they have. And Ray Farmer's never been a GM. He's never run a draft. And he doesn't have a long history even in scouting college players. He did it as a scout early in his career at Atlanta. Then he kind of moved over to the pro personnel side. And you still are involved in the draft and you scout. So it's not like he doesn't know what he's looking at when he watches film. But he hasn't spent his whole career as a college scout, college talent evaluator. So that's another area that he's going to have to prove he can handle.
What do you think your typical Browns player thinks about all of this stuff? Have you had a chance to talk to anybody?
You know what? I haven't since yesterday. I talked to a player after the Chud firing, Mike Pettine hiring. And, you know, there's a sense of skepticism, but players are resilient. And they just like to know that what they're going to have to deal with. And if it's, okay, new coach, new GM, that's fine. I think Ray Farmer is well-liked within the building. I don't think Michael Lombardi had much of a presence within the building with the players. So I don't think that's a negative. I think the Joe Banner fact, I'm not sure, you know, players cared one way or not about Joe Banner. I don't think he was ingratiating himself to players. I don't know if he's a lovable guy. I think there will be some sense of instability, which has been, you know, the hallmark of the organization for a long time now. So guys who've been here a long time, like Joe Thomas and DeQuell Jackson, I think they know how to handle it. I don't think they love the constant turnover. But if Jimmy has them, and then Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine can sell them on, we know what we're doing, we're going to make the right decisions, I think the players would be glad to accept that and move on.
Is there much talk the fact that now you have an African-American as a general manager, as an NFL always looking for diversity? The numbers are growing, but it's coming along. And you mentioned about, well, you don't know what his track record was. Well, think of how much we always, you know, we know what happened with Ozzie Newsome. And at his time, when he became the general manager, what experience did he have? And that point, you're thinking, well, we always talked about we should get Ozzie Newsome. You know, that was kind of a thing people were talking about. Well, you never know until you see how the season works out. So I guess there is bright spots in the fact that we have no track record on a lot of this stuff. So we can kind of look at that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I knew, at least I felt, that Mike Lombardi was not going to be the right answer GM. I don't know if Ray Farmer is going to be, so I think that's an improvement. There's a chance he will be good. And every guy who starts in a job it's his first time as a GM, it's his first time as a coach. So those guys, you know, Bill Belichick was a first-time head coach and turned out to be good. Obviously, it was the second time around, he turned out to be good. But it happens. Ozzie is a good example, and I read something yesterday that when Ozzie took over as GM in Baltimore, they had the 4th and 26th picks in the draft, his first draft in Baltimore, and that's what the Browns have this year. So maybe that's a good omen.
Was it Belichick third? Was he ever the coach of the Jets, or was that
he
just?
He was not.
Okay.
I don't know if he got introduced, but he never.
Okay, I know there was.
If he did, he was there a day.
It was almost like he was waiting in the wings, and then he kind of like went out the backstage door and didn't show up after that, or something.
Exactly.
Like.
He never spent any time.
It was interesting yesterday, though. I thought one honest moment in the sense was when Jimmy Haslam says, "Hey, I'm kind of learning on the job here." You know, in other words, being as an owner, he's going to make mistakes, and you know we're going to see them, and he's going to try to learn from that. I'm hoping, you know, that's an honest statement from him.
Right, and he said the same thing when at the press conference for Mike Pettine getting hired. And it is an honest statement. I don't know how much different owning an NFL team is than running a truck stop company. You know, you think you hire the right people, and that takes care of itself. But you know, I know that Joe Banner helped the transition, and that Jimmy has him. Obviously, you need a guy who's been around the league, and I think that's what's been proven, is that it is a different role of being an NFL owner. Not only the spotlight and the scrutiny that are on you, but you're hiring a different skill set for particular skill sets when you're looking for a GM or a coach. And, you know, Jimmy says it. Hopefully you get it right the second time around.
Yeah. Well, unless you're following those business pages, you don't know what's going on with Pilot Flying J when it first starts out. You know,
when you're
on the front page of a sports page and you're on the radio, they have an entire channel devoted to talking about you. You know that there's going to be a lot of things said and, the scrutiny, as it were. So.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So you're going to see where Brandon Whedon heads next? I guess he's asked to be, get me out of here, that kind of a.
Yeah, I'm going to check. I'm going to see if I can check in with him today. A couple guys around him told a guy from NFL Network. But I think we all assume that Whedon's not going to be here. So I don't know if that's just him talking or guys around him.
I told Craig it's like a PR thing, you know, when a movie's just put my name out there, you know, even I'm just thinking of, I don't want to be here. So if someone is thinking about quarterbacks, his name at least is in the ether out there.
Yeah. And you wonder if, you know, the Browns were able to get, I think, a seventh round pick for Colt McCoy or sixth round pick a couple years ago. You know, if Ray Farmer were able to get a fourth rounder for Brandon Whedon, I think that would be a coup, because I'm not sure. I like Brandon Whedon, but I'm not sure what kind of market there is for him, just because I think people assume that he'll be cut and then you wouldn't have to make a trade for him.
So we had the lids on the Browns for a while. There's not going to be a whole lot of stuff bubbling out
over
there.
We got the combine starting next Thursday. So I'll be in Indianapolis for the combine, and it'll be a lot of talk about Johnny Manziel and Teddy Bridgewater. So it doesn't ever really dies down too much.
Okay, keeping you busy here and throughout the winter months, Scott. Thanks for sharing the time with us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram. You can also read him in the Chronicle and also ChronicleT.com.